Hello and welcome to Sundial on WLRN. I'm Luis Hernandez. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, the Coconut Grove Playhouse is at the center of a political struggle between the city and the county. This is a building that's been shuttered for years, but different groups have been struggling over what to do next. Should it be completely renovated or maybe just part of it? Well, earlier this month, the City Commission voted on a plan pushed by County Mayor Carlos Jimenez that would renovate the front of the building and get rid of the auditorium in the back. A lot of people are not happy with that decision. Miami Mayor Francis Suarez vetoed a vote, and it may become a legal battle soon. And we're going to be joined by Mayor Suarez here in just a moment, but we'd love to know from you your thoughts. What should happen to the Coconut Grove Playhouse? You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at WLRN Sundial. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Should it be renovated completely or just part of it? Again, find us on Facebook or on Twitter at WLRN Sundial. Let us know your thoughts. We've been hearing from some of you, and we want to know more about what should happen to the Playhouse. Again, we're going to bring in Mayor Francis Suarez here in a moment. And just a reminder that there was a vote not too long ago with the City Commission to move forward with a plan by the county that would, again, renovate part of the building. And it would basically remove, destroy the auditorium in the back. But that plan, again, supported by Mayor Carlos Jimenez, was vetoed by Mayor Francis Suarez. We're going to bring him on in just a moment here and ask him why he decided to make that veto and what's the next step. What happens now? Is it going to be battled out in the courts? Again, we want to hear your thoughts. What should happen to the Coconut Grove Playhouse? We're going to go now to Mayor Francis Suarez. We believe that we have him on the phone. Let's see here. Francis Suarez.
I'm here.
There he is. Okay, Mayor Suarez, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time today.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
All right. Why did you veto the commission's vote to go forward with the redevelopment plan that was pushed by the county?
The reason why I vetoed it is because I really believe that we have to do our utmost to preserve historic property in the city of Miami. In fact, legally, the standards for demolishing historic property, for obvious reasons, are very high and very difficult. You have to basically prove, if it's state property, which in this case it is, that there is no feasible alternative to demolition. In the case of the city of Miami, the only way you can demo historic property is if either A, it's unsafe, which this property is not, you know, basically it's condemned, or B, you have some sort of economic hardship, which you have to, by affidavit, swear to the economic hardship. And I think what upset me about the whole process is that there were so many things that were being done disingenuously. The county had come forward to the city to talk about its quote-unquote fully funded $23 million plan. When I started to dig into the numbers, what I realized is, number one, it wasn't fully funded. Number two, it wasn't a $23 million plan. It was a $50 million plan, which required $28 million from the city, which is more than the county's own contribution. It wasn't fully funded. And from the county's $22 million, $0 were going to be used to restore the Playhouse, $0. And I think that's disingenuous on multitude of levels. First, you know, you have the 2005 general obligation bond of the county, which had a line item for $15 million to restore the Playhouse. And not 1 cent of that $15 million was actually being used to restore the Playhouse. So for those reasons and many more, I decided to veto the legislation, and I'm very happy that the commission upheld my veto.
Now, I had read a report that, I mean, look, you and Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez obviously don't see eye to eye on this, but that the two of you had a conversation. Did you?
We did. In fact, I reached out to him the day I issued my veto. I called him before the press conference to give him sort of a heads up. I happened to run into him at an event for the naming of the Wolfson campus for Eduardo Padron. And I told him that, you know, we needed to meet because I felt that it was very easy for us to come to a resolution on this issue. I offered to meet with him and to go directly to the HEP board, the Historic and Environmental Protection Board, and ask the board to give a certificate of appropriateness, which is the approval needed to take certain steps with historic property, so that we could build, number one, the garage, which is something that we, the city of Miami, have the money to do. That's all city money. And so that we can begin to restore the eastern and southern facades of the Playhouse, which everyone agrees has historic significance and everyone agrees has architectural significance. So my point to the mayor was, look, let's get started on the things that we agree with right now, and let's get those things going, because you have a 2022 deadline that you have to meet to not be in breach of your lease with the state. And frankly, the state itself and its historic preservation officer wrote a letter to the county basically admonishing the county for its plan, which would be in effect demolishing a historic structure. So they could end up in litigation with the state, which is the land owner, if they decided to go forward with their plan. So they're, not only would they be in hot water with the city, but also with the state that owns the property.
And you talk about litigation. Could, because of your veto, and the commission, by the way, couldn't overturn your veto recently, could there be litigation now with the county against you for this?
Well, that's what they're posturing. You know, unfortunately, Mayor Jimenez has been unwilling to compromise and to come to the table to try to find a solution. He feels that the only solution is to continue to fight, to litigate, and take this all the way to the end, unfortunately. I hear you perfectly.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, we're here. We're here.
Did you
continue?
You
no, keep continuing.
Yeah, I'm just saying that unfortunately, you know, the mayor has taken a position that all he wants to do is continue to fight and litigate rather than to compromise and come to the table. I offered him, in addition to going to the HEP board, I offered him money from our general obligation bond under certain conditions that we would be willing to offer to contribute to the project. But we're already, you know, one of the things that I discovered in this process is that according to his plan, we are the major contributor, not only on the capital side, we're contributing $28 million, but on the operational side, we're supposed to contribute 100% of the profits from our parking garage, which is estimated to be $450,000 a year.
Let me go to this too. Just at this point, I want to know from you, what do you envision? I mean, you talk about what, you know, what the two of you at least agree on, what you can move forward with now. But for you, what's your plan? What do you envision should happen to this facility?
My plan is simple. My plan is that we need to exhaust all remedies before we even consider demolishing a historic property. And we're not anywhere near that. My plan is that we need to start right away working on the things that we do agree on, which, by the way, could have been done by now. The county's been the tenant on this property for 5.5 years without doing one thing. The city of Miami also waived $3 million in code enforcement liens and fines against the property. And the city of Miami contributed money to extinguish liens that were there from outside people. So the city of Miami has done a tremendous amount to try to rescue this property. And the county, unfortunately, rather than wanting to compromise and figure out a way that we restore the building, maybe create an annex for Gable Stage, which they're obviously in partnership with an FIU, so that they can continue to do what they're doing now. And sort of, instead of making this a 66% commercial mall and 20% small theater, why don't we come together to restore the theater, create an annex, and do something that's really going to leave a lasting legacy for our children and preserve one of our few historic nationally, you know, properties on the National Historic Register in our inventory in the city.
Do you think, though, I mean, because I know that, again, that's part of the, some people want to see just the full restoration and that, you know, that there could be lots of theater there. But do you think that financially, is it viable to have that full theater that you could fill that with shows all the time? We have a lot of options in South Florida right now.
We do have a lot of options, Lewis, and I would tell you that don't talk to me. Don't take my word for it. Take the word of Andy Garcia, who's a you know, world-renowned actor. You know, he will cite, you know, theaters across the United States that are in the 700 and above category. And frankly, the way many people who have testified have said that, you know, a 300-seater may not be economically viable because it's too small. So, there is, I think, a big debate about what is the appropriate size, whether it should be smaller or larger. I think what's great is that there's the envelope, the envelope of the property is large enough to accommodate both. You can accommodate a small annex theater of 200 seats, and you can fully restore the Playhouse at 700 seats. What you can't do is have a mega mall. You know what I mean? You can't have more commercial space and do it all. Obviously, that's just not possible. There's limitations to the size of the property. And frankly, the Grove doesn't really need that. The Grove is an area that's renaissancing. You have five new buildings that have been built in the last couple of years. You have CocoWalk that's being renovated. Many of the commercial and restaurants are being renovated right now as we speak. And frankly, what government needs to do is come together, compromise, and get the Playhouse restored and fixed.
What happens next? And do you have any planned conversations with Mayor Jimenez?
I sent a letter yesterday urging the mayor not to litigate, urging the mayor to sit down. I am open, ready, willing, and able at any time to sit down with him and discuss a way forward. But it has to be an honest conversation. He has to stop telling the public that he has a fully funded plan when what he has is a partially funded plan that requires more money from the city than from the county. That's number one. Number two, we got to figure out what are they going to put in operationally as a subsidy. They're already getting $450,000 from the city on day one. What is the county going to do if this has an operational deficit? How are they going to solve that? Number two, let's get started on the things that we agree with. We built a parking garage next to City Hall. It started after I became mayor. I've only been mayor for a year and a half, and that parking garage is almost complete. Let's get that done. That's something that the Grove needs, that all the business owners in the Grove deserve.
Again, talking with Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, we're talking about the future of the Coconut Grove Playhouse. What should happen next? By the way, we have put in a request to Miami-Dade Mayor Carlos Jimenez to let him share his side of the story. Now, I wanted to move over real quickly before I let you go, Mayor, and talk about soccer.
Yes.
It was announced that the First Tee golf program for youth is being moved. Now, the home had been Mel Reese Golf Course. This is, again, where the Beckham Group wants to build their new stadium. Where's the First Tee program going?
Well, they didn't want to announce that publicly because they're in the final stages of finalizing that deal. What was great about yesterday was that this was our announcement that the team and the First Tee had come together with an agreement to relocate. And this is something that I promised throughout the negotiations of the soccer stadium. And it was a precondition for me because I felt that the First Tee has done great work in our community, great work with children in our community, and that the DeLuca family, frankly, has done a great job managing our asset, and they deserved a soft landing and an easy transition. And so it was just a happy day for me to be able to follow through on that promise. And I think in the next week or two, hopefully, the First Tee and the DeLucas will announce where they're going to, which is not too far.
So let's talk about the team. So we discussed this not too long ago on the program, and we talked about the fact that they're going to be playing the first couple of years at what was Lockhart Stadium, okay? And, you know, that's up in Fort Lauderdale, near Fort Lauderdale. But that wasn't what was promised. It was promised that they would play in Miami. Where are you in the negotiations right now? How far is this gone?
We, last Thursday, and let me tell you something about Fort Lauderdale. I have to commend them, because what they've been able to accomplish in 2 months is they've been able to do an unsolicited solicitation. They've been able to select them as the winner of that solicitation. They've been able to defeat any legal challenges, and they've been able to demolish Lockhart Stadium, all within the same amount of time that it took us, the city of Miami, to select somebody to negotiate on our behalf.
That doesn't look good for the city. It's 5 years now since Beckham made the announcement.
It doesn't. And let me tell you something. I was with the mayor of Orlando yesterday, and the mayor of Orlando and I were joking because he said that they were given the rights to the team the same year as Miami was, and they've been playing for 5 years, and we haven't. So I think what that should teach us is that, look, if you don't seize an opportunity to do something that's great for your citizens, it's going to be the best sports deal in the history of the United States. No one's been able to demonstrate one better. For me, it's voter approved. And now we have the added benefit that the First Tee, which was a wonderful program that was playing out of the asset, has already agreed to move under the conditions that they've agreed to. So there's no obstacles in the way. At this point, we have to finalize the deal and follow through on what our residents have asked us to do.
Okay, so I'm going to try to encapsulate all of this because it is a very complex story. Just real quickly, and I want your take on this.
Sure.
You've got a team that, again, they want to build on Mel Reese, where the Mel Reese Golf Course is, still have to finish that deal. They do have land, and there was a discussion of buying out the rest of the acreage in Overtown to build the stadium. And again, they're going to be playing for at least the first couple of years in Fort Lauderdale. What's the deal with the Overtown? And again, how confident are you they're going to have this deal set, they're going to be in Mel Reese, and they're going to have the team ready to play within the next couple of years in Miami?
Well, the deal in Overtown is a deal that the current ownership group inherited from the prior ownership group, you know, and I leave that to them in terms of their dealings with the county. They've mentioned publicly that that's sort of a plan B if things didn't happen in Maurice. I feel very confident. I mean, I think when you structure a deal that could bring to the city of Miami, conservatively speaking, with 3% growth in property taxes, $5.6 billion in revenue, zero subsidy, a fully decontaminated site, which is incredibly contaminated, probably the biggest contaminant of the Miami River, a 60-acre park, 23 acres of soccer fields, thousands of jobs at an enhanced living wage of $15 an hour, which is something that was negotiated by the chairman of the commission. I think this is a phenomenal deal for the residents of the city of Miami. And they're giving us $20 million to improve the park and $5 million towards the Baywalk.
And by the way, is that been said, that, you know, because we talk about the decontamination, you're talking about cleaning up that site, that's millions of dollars. How can you guarantee it's not on us?
Because that's going to be part of the lease negotiations that we're doing now. I mean, these were all spoken about and agreed to in anticipation of the referendum. And so at a base minimum, bare minimum, what's going to be incorporated for purposes of negotiation, Lewis, is the things that have already been agreed to. And that's one of the things that have already been agreed to. They're in the final phases of getting their environmental study completed. They've given us indications that there are no surprises, so that it's going to come within what they estimated, which was their top figure was $35 million. That's something that the private sector is going to pay to decontaminate. And I can tell you, just based on some things that I've heard of the contaminants that are in that site, everything but radioactive materials. I mean, it's really, really nasty stuff. Yeah. That's there, and it's stuff that's it contaminates our groundwater, frankly.
Let me finish with this. You know that stadiums sometimes could be the death knell to a mayor's legacy, and I don't need to even go into Marlins Park. But,
right.
I mean, for you as the mayor, how are you making sure that, you know, the soccer team and this stadium and all this deal isn't going to be, it's going to be something that's a plus for your legacy, not, you know, something bad?
Well, it's easy. And I'll tell you why it's so easy, because none of the stadium deals ever done in South Florida, not one of them, has ever been subject to voter approval. Not one. And this one was. And this one received more than 60% support in all five City of Miami Commission districts. If you poll it today, it's over 70%. And the only reason why it was at 60% was because some people opposed it. And listen, I do not begrudge anyone who feels that it should remain a golf course. You know, I think the beauty of democracy is that we get to debate these things. The owners of the property were the ones that made the final decision. And they decided that they wanted to go in a different direction, create a public park, a 60-acre public park, which is three times larger than the next closest one in our inventory, which is Maurice Ferre Park, and decontaminate a site that is probably one of the worst contaminants to the city of any site that we own in our inventory. So, you know, the residents have spoken. They're the ones that decided to go forward with this deal. That was my best hedge, was to say, you know what, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm, you know, too invested. Let me make sure that as we package this all and put this all together, that my bosses are the ones that have the final say. That never happened when the Dolphins moved. That never happened with the Marlins Stadium. That never happened with the Miami Arena. That's never happened in any sports deal in South Florida. And so that's what gives me confidence that the residents support it.
We've been talking with Miami Mayor Francis Suarez. Again, we talked about the Coconut Grove Playhouse. We also talked about Inter Miami, what's going to happen as the negotiations continue on their soccer stadium. Mayor Suarez, I appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Always appreciate talking to you, Lewis.
All right. And just as a note, we have also put in a request to hear from Miami-Dade County Mayor Carlos Jimenez and to hear again his take, because he has a very different idea of what should happen to the Coconut Grove Playhouse. We've been hearing from you, by the way. You can find us on Facebook at WLRN Sundial. What should happen to the Playhouse? Bob Diamond from Miami messages us on Facebook. He says, we must completely restore this national historical landmark, preserving the theater, installing quality management, and returning this landmark to the revered venue it was is imperative for Miami's cultural footprint. Thank you, Mayor Suarez, for your dedication to seeing this justice played out and upheld. Lisa DeAndrea from Miami messaged us on Facebook as well. She says, the county's plan will bring great regional theater back to this iconic site and the building. The entire front building is being restored in their plan, and it's an economically feasible plan. I'm all for it. All right, still to come. What does it take to start a new company in South Florida? Do you have a business idea? We're going to look at startup culture in Broward County. That's up next.